more than any tongue can tell. Amen. Praise God. But I'm going to try to tell what can't be verbalized in any way fully, but we're going to do our best today to talk about Jesus in this place. Hallelujah. Would you ask the blessing?
Yes, sir. On the service, we don't have anything to sow.
Amen. Father, we thank you for your great love. We thank you for your mercy.
Yes, we do.
Thank you for your joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength, Lord. We look up to thee, from which cometh our help. Lord, have your way in our lives. Stir us up to pray and to seek your face diligently out of a pure heart, Lord. Move for the hungry and thirsty, Lord God. Help us, Lord God, to be strong in thee and in the power of your might, Lord God. We come to worship you in spirit and in truth, Lord God. Have your way today, Lord. Meet every need that's present, Lord. Help us, Lord God, to open our hearts and reach out to you, Lord God. Bless, protect, deliver, heal, set free. Meet every need that's present, God. We thank you for victory in the name of Jesus Christ and for the glory of God. Amen.
The scripture says, the psalmist said, I believe it's Psalm 37, somewhere along there. Read all the psalms. I'm sure you'll run across it. Hallelujah. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the sons of men put their trust under the covert, the shadow of thy wings. That word shadow in the Hebrew, once again, it's the underside of the wings of a bird. The underside. It's the part that when it comes down over you, that's the part that is covering you. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm so glad that we have a covering and we can hide ourselves. We can go to Him in the time of trouble and be assured. Jesus said it to Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you that stone the prophets, kill them that are sent to you. How many times would I have taken you under my wing as a mother hen does her chicks? They run under her wing. A loud noise, here they come. Thunder, here they come. All those little biddies running under the wings, and she opens those wings to receive them. And as soon as they are nestled up close, she covers her, amen, her brood. And keeps them. We're covered today. Praise God by the wonderful wings of God. The wonderful love of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lord. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you. We give you glory. Praise God. Hallelujah. There is a scripture. We haven't rehearsed this. I don't know where he's going, but I see where he's going. Amen. And I just want to give you a preface to this song today. Amen. A man came to Jesus, needed healing. He said, Lord, if you will, you can make me whole. Jesus said, I will. I will. He had leprosy. Stretch forth your hand. Hallelujah. Praise God. We have not just a can-do God who has all power in heaven and earth. We have a God that's willing to do. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm so glad that I found that out about Him, that I'm not trying to pry something from Him that He doesn't will me to have, want me to have, has already made a provision to give it to me. Right through His shed blood today. Let's give Him praise in this. Amen. And amen. You may be seated for a little while today. I want to preface this message today with a personal experience I had about a month ago. It's getting late into the evening, and a pastor friend called and said, "Would you speak to my daughter?" And I thought, "Hey, yeah, you know, you're a pastor and you're a dad and your daughter has questions." And, you know, I wasn't offended. I was honored. I thought, what can I say that, because he knows the Bible, he knows the scripture. But she was having a problem with doubting that she was truly saved. And she had been on the internet and on YouTube in particular, and she heard a lot of voices and a lot of different perspectives on scripture, and all those voices and all those perspectives brought a confusion to her. Now, we know one thing about God. He's not the author of confusion, but of peace. He speaks to us clearly. He speaks to us with clarity. He wants us to understand it. He doesn't want everything shrouded in mystery. Amen. He wants to put it on a level where it's plain and simple, because he wants us to get it, because he wants us to go to heaven and to be sure that we're on our way to heaven. And so the first 30 minutes of our conversation was trying to get her to just deprogram her from all these voices and just point her to the Word of God, to point her to the Word of God. In the book of Revelation, to seven churches, God moved upon John. Jesus, through Christ, Jesus told him, write this letter to this church, to that church, to that church, to that church, to seven churches in the province of Asia. Every letter closed with the same statement. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. He that hath an ear, let him... How many's got an ear? Amen. I got these kind of ears. He's not talking about the ability to hear audibly. He's talking about the ability to hear spiritually. He's talking about a heart situation where we have a heart to obey. That's what gives us ears to hear. If we have a heart to obey, we have ears to hear what the Spirit is going to speak. Amen. If we don't have a heart to obey, then the Bible said, he that heareth the word and doeth it not. What happens? If we don't have a heart to obey, even though we hear it audibly, but we don't have a heart to give heed to it and obey it, he's like a man that built his home. He didn't lay a foundation for it. And the rains came, the storms came, hurricane season, tornado season, floods came, and it fell. He built it strong, he built it tall, but it fell, and great was the fall of it. But if any man hears my word and doeth it, I'll show you what he's like. He's like a man that doesn't start building up, he starts building down. The foundation becomes the whole, it's everything. No matter how tall you build it, if the foundation isn't secure, it's going to fall. He digged deep and laid his foundation on a rock, something that cannot give, will not give, and will not be shaken. Floods came the same way. Christians go through things. Dedicated Christians go through things. The rains came, the floods came, the winds beat upon it, but it did not fall, because it was founded on a rock. Amen. Hallelujah. That cannot be shaken. The wonderful thing about the Word of God, I know the Bible said the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God, but when you get all of these voices, all of these perspectives, it's easy to get confused. So it took 30 minutes of deprogramming. Well, this person said he went to heaven, he saw this, saw that. I said, well, you know, he may have, may not have. No one knows for sure but God. We don't know for sure. That's subjective. Amen. To the person who had the experience. Well, they said we had to deprogram. Let's get back to the Bible. Let's get back to the inerrant, eternal Word of the living God. Heaven and earth going to pass away. Everything we think is so firm and so stable and so permanent will pass away. But my word is different. It's going to abide forever. And he that doeth my will by heeding my word, giving heed to it, amen, is eternal as the word itself. You that have come to Jesus as your Savior, amen. You have eternal life to look forward to. Everlasting life, amen. So anyway, we went to the book of Galatians, where it says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you to believe another gospel, which is not another completely, it's where you can identify it, but some have perverted the gospel of Jesus Christ. What perverts anything that is pure? Adding an ingredient to it, or taking an ingredient from it? When you add to or take from the Word of God, it's no longer pure. Amen. And the Galatians were adding. Well, the situation was that they said, go ahead and believe on Jesus. you're Jews believing on Jesus, but if you want to be truly right with God, you got to do something else. You can't just believe on Christ and what he did at the cross. You got to be circumcised. If you're uncircumcised, you can never be right with God. It's part of our covenant. Well, this is a new covenant. The veil has been torn, but they were holding on to that particular part, and they would not turn it loose. And the Galatians were feeling intimidated. They were questioning their faith, questioning their security in the Lord. And he said, oh, foolish Galatians, and here's the devil's trickery, using enough truth to make it believable. Who hath bewitched you? And we're coming up on Halloween, and you're going to see witches and all of that, but the wolf in the sheep suit doesn't look like the witches, and it doesn't look like all of the demonic apparitions that are going to be around during Halloween season. He comes in a suit. He comes with a smile. Some of you are envisioning certain preachers, but anyway, you know, he doesn't look the part. Amen. But no marvel if Satan himself be transformed into an angel of light and his ministers as ministers of righteousness. With all of these voices and all of this deception, how can we hear the clarion, clear voice of God? He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church. In Jesus' generation, they rejected him. He's their Messiah. The gospel went to the Jew first. And yet they rejected their own Messiah. And you know what happened? He said, you have ears, but you hear not. You have eyes, but you see not. They didn't, they didn't need an optometrist so they could see better in the natural. They didn't need a hearing aid company to tune them in so they could hear with their natural ear. They needed a doctor that deals with their heart. Because the reason they couldn't see is because they wouldn't see. And the reason they couldn't hear is because they didn't like to hear what he was saying. And when the heart became adamant against him, they couldn't see and they couldn't hear. And yet there was their Messiah standing in the midst of them. Amen. They were called first because the gospel was first sent to his own people, the covenant people, but they wouldn't come. In other words, the parable Jesus talked about was a wedding, and they were invited to the wedding, but they didn't come. He said, I've got a feast here, I've got a wedding. They're invited, but they wouldn't come. He said, listen, go to the highway, go to the hedge. Just go grab a hold of somebody. We're not going to waste this kind of grace, this kind of mercy, this kind of sacrifice. Can you say amen? Go in the highway and hedge. Find somebody and say, come on, come on, come on. That's evangelism. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Come with me. I saw something the other day, and usually when I say that, people buy me what I saw, if it's possible. So I saw Escalade. No, that wasn't it. Help me, Eric. I'm going to need some help. These sheep get rowdy sometimes in here. Amen. No, I saw the back window of a car, and there was a cross, and beside the cross, there was a saying, I may not be able to help you, but I know a guy. I know a guy. I know a guy. And evangelism is all about knowing who Jesus is and going into the highway and hedge of this world to the Jew first. Yes. A man that I consider a colleague that I met during my interaction with ministers down through 15 years of being part of a ministry to pastors. They finally give me a little credibility, not because of the size of the church or my notoriety, but because I have a 63-year marriage and a 53-year ministry. And I'm still sane. 1,500 ministers, pastors leave the ministry per month, not per year. It's about 18,000 a year. Some of them probably were not called. Some of them were called and they couldn't bear the pressure, because you've not just got the devil against you, you've got the culture that he runs and rules that turns on you. Today, if you're a Christian, you're being put in a group of radical people, of bigoted people, just because you're followers of your teacher and your mentor and your savior, Jesus Christ, today. I'm glad to be part of that number, but I'm not some extremist, but I'm extremely committed to following Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And I make no apology for that. If we're going to hear the voice of God in all these voices that bring such confusion, we're going to have to get in the Word of God. We're going to have an ear to hear, and we're going to have to get in the Word of God, because it's in the Word of God that we're truly going to hear the voice of God. Now, we got a little clip to play in a moment, but Jesus said to his people, "My sheep, people that are truly mine, they know my voice. They know my voice. They hear it. And they will not follow a stranger." They won't follow a stranger. Now, hearing his voice is not just being led by the Spirit. It's being completely, absolutely involved in the understanding of the Word of God. For all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And you talk about how you can get off on it. People say, "Well, I'm led by the Spirit." Well, three ladies, just happened to be women. I don't know what color their hair was. There's a lot of blonde jokes out there, just saying. Amen. But blondes beat me up after one service, and I quit talking about that. But there's three ladies, supposedly Christian. They wanted to do everything they found in the Bible. They had a, you know, but they certainly did not hear the voice of God when they read the Scripture. Because they were reading in Genesis. This was the excuse they gave after the highway patrol in Texas pulled them over. This was an article in the paper, back when we had papers. He pulled them over. Well, what were they doing? What was wrong? Well, they had read, this is their excuse to him why they were in the condition they were in. They read in the book of Genesis that the man and the woman were naked and not ashamed when he brought them together. So the number one reason he pulled them over is they were in a bench, sitting together, a bench seat in a pickup truck, Texas, you understand, pickup truck, and they were naked. And so, you know, even in Texas you can't do that yet. They were naked because they read in Genesis that, well, if we're going to express our faith, we should be naked. How? That's crazy. So you've got to get a hold of something more than impulses. The Bible said, "During the Spirit of Truth has come, the Holy Spirit, He will guide you into all truth. He will balance it, that we might do what that we're told to do." Rightfully divide the word of truth, not just grab a scripture to make it say something, but just bring it like it is in the Word of God. Hallelujah. And then on top of that, they had smeared themselves with mustard. Didn't cover up anything, but it made them look sillier and crazier. They're smeared with mustard, driving naked in a pickup truck. And the highway pulled them. And this excuse they're giving. Well, we read about mustard seed faith. Faith is a grain of mustard seed can move a mountain. So we got naked people covered with mustard, driving in a pickup truck, defending this outrageous error by saying it's in the Bible. So if we're going to hear the voice of God, and all these other voices. Now that's outrageous, extreme stuff, silly stuff. We went to church with people that we looked up to. We were the new guys. We were the new Christians. And everybody that spoke in tongues or prophesied or preached or had a Bible study or said, the Lord showed me, the Lord told me, we thought, man, we don't have a relationship like that. I wish he could talk to me like that. I wish I could hear him like that, because it sounds like they're just snapping it out. Lord, show me this about you. Lord, show me you're to be a missionary. Lord, show me you're to stay home. The Lord, show me you're to go here. No, the Lord showed me you're to go there. And I thought, he's going to have to show me something if I'm going to leave my home and go to the mission field. I just, you know, I asked my pastor one time about a preacher that was way off from anything I'd ever heard in my life. And I said, Pastor, what can you explain this to me? And he said, well, just pray about it. He didn't know how to explain it to me. And I was driven, as a new Christian, I was driven to the Bible. I had to go to the Bible. Oh, the guy had a tent meeting. He was saying things that sounded wrong. You know, one thing about the Holy Spirit, being led the Spirit, you may not be able to see clearly the problem, but it's like a red flag goes up. Something comes up inside that doesn't sound right. Well, it's not God's voice. It's not God's word. Hallelujah. It's violating God's word. It's not rightfully divided truth. It's abused and misused. One lady on the air raising money for her ministry, she said Psalm 93:4 or something like that. It had some good blessing in that verse of the psalm. And she said, for everyone that sends in $93.40. 93.4, you see. In other words, if you send $93.40, you can get the 93.4 blessing out of the psalm. And I thought, how can God's people be so crazy? I mean, it's not mustard seed crazy. It's not naked crazy, but it's still crazy. Amen. I thought, man, listen, Psalm 1, blessed is the man. Hallelujah. Amen. Psalm 1 is fabulous. Blessed is a man stands not in the counsel of the ungodly, sits in the seat of the scornful, or walketh in the way of sinners, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he does meditate day and night. He will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and shall never cease from yielding his fruit. That would only cost you a dollar. Can you say amen? $1. Why not read that one out? Because it don't cost you anything. Every blessing has been bought by Jesus and paid for in full at the cross. You can't sell it on the open market. You can't plant a seed. The seed was the blood of Jesus, the death of Christ, the resurrection of Christ. Hallelujah. How dare we sell it? I wouldn't want to be in the shoes of those who are selling the gospel and selling to desperate people healing. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit in all of these voices. There is a truth that rings and resonates true in their heart. And when my pastor couldn't help me and I didn't know which way to turn, and there was even a threat, the person preaching said, if any of you touch not God's anointed, do his prophets no harm. Absolutely. But that doesn't mean don't question if you feel something is wrong. Amen. So I was questioning, and I thought, because he said it'll be Ichabod. God will depart you for questioning me. Now we've got a double. We've got this person that everybody, including my pastor, is following. And now we've got all these people who taught Sunday school and sang in the choir is following. And all of, and he's saying these crazy things. He said, you know, when I start preaching, I leave my body. Okay, I mean, I'm a young Christian. You leave your body. I wonder who's doing the preaching if you're not in there. Well, he told us. He said, I leave my body, and it's like I'm sitting over here in the corner. And he said, and then Jesus comes in, and then he uses my body and preaches. Now, I understand the Word of God is God's Word. But Jesus comes in, didn't say the Holy Spirit, and then he called a woman up, and she's all, oh, yeah, yeah. He's already got people mesmerized. You know what mesmerized means? Mesmer was a German hypnotist. That's where we get the word from. His name was Mesmer. He could hypnotize people. He could have them hypnotized to the point, if they would let him, if they would come under his verbal and control, he would have them bite into an onion, telling them it's an apple, and their eyes wouldn't water, and the onion, they're just chewing on it like it's wonderful. A raw onion. Big onion. Not the sweet onion, that other one. Mesmerized. She was mesmerized. He said, look into my eyes. Who do you see? She looked into his eye. I mean, you know, you see this. She said, I see Jesus. I hope people can see Jesus in me, but I'm not Jesus. And Jesus is in me by the Holy Spirit. But I'm not him. He's not taking over my body. He's in this room today. But I'm not him. And that guy isn't him. Because things begin to go really, really wrong. And that's why I called my pastor. I said, listen, I don't want to question, but I don't understand. He said, well, just pray about it. And I thought, I've already prayed. Now I got a pastor here. Tell me something. Give me some guidance. Since he didn't, I just went into the Bible. And I found out God's not the author of confusion. Even in the midst of valid gifts of the Spirit, tongues, interpretations, and prophecy that is confirmed to be actual gifts of the Spirit, but misused and abused, it caused confusion. And Paul was a tongue-talking apostle. And he said, though I speak in tongues more than any of you, though I speak 10,000 in words in tongues, and a man comes into our midst and he doesn't know the clear gospel of Jesus Christ to be saved, and everyone's just self-edifying, speaking in other tongues. Amen. I'd rather speak words, just a few words, 5 words of wisdom of how to get saved. For God so loved the world he gave his son that he might come to Christ, than 10,000 words of self-edifying tongues. Because when it's without love and compassion for the lost and other people, amen, it becomes what? Sounding brass, tinkling cymbal, noise without substance. There is a genuine, there is a real, but you've got to figure it out in all of this mess that's out there. But Jesus said something, my sheep, they know something. They have a knowing in their heart to begin with. That's where the flag comes from that is raised. Then you can search it in the scripture. My sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. Amen. If these people who followed Jim Jones down to Guyana and drank the Kool-Aid laced with whatever poison and they all died following him, if they had been truly in the scripture, instead of a man saying, God showed me, God told me. And God shows people things, and God may tell people and give them a word of knowledge. I've had that work. I've seen it work. I've had it happen, and it was genuine. But there's also a false. How do we know the difference? It's the word of God. What does the Spirit say to the church, and how does he say it? I'll give you one more illustration. Our time is running. Amen. Lady said, and she was one of these people who spoke in other tongues, prophesied over people, laid hands on people, considered herself a minister. She was married to a friend of my dad that played a guitar, and he would come to dad's, and he had a bit of a learning disability growing up, but he was a good, sincere man. He wasn't a spiritual man in the sense of spiritual leadership, but he's just a good Christian man. She met a man that called himself a prophet, that was laying hands on people, prophesying over them. She said that God told her to leave her husband because he wouldn't be good for her in ministry, and marry this man because they as a team could go and win the world for Jesus. Well, if you know your Bible at all, it forbids that kind of thing. Even if an unbeliever is content to live with you and let you maintain your faith, amen, don't leave that person, male or female, amen, that he might see your Christian walk and it influence that person to come to Christ. This is unbiblical. And yet it's violated because someone said, God showed me it was okay. So now you can't even give scriptural advice to anyone. God told me. I've seen people that I love and respect, that someone can come and into their life, into their orbit spiritually, talking about how God showed them and God talks to them, and they immediately say, oh, he's so spiritual. Oh, she's so spiritual. Can I define spiritual? It's Christ-like. It's not just being so sensitive to every voice and every impulse. I wish I was like that. You don't want to be like that. You want to be like Jesus. You want to be like Jesus. Somebody show me Jesus. Don't tell me what God showed you and told you. Show me Jesus. And point me to that. They will not be shaken. That will reveal error. That rock that you dig deep and lay your foundation on, the words of Christ, the works of Christ, the model of Christ. Hallelujah. So they went off preaching, and there's plenty of people that when they came on so strong, God showed me, God told me, God showed me something about you. They're laying hands on people. People are falling out under whatever. But it wasn't God. How do you know? Because we were already in violation of Scripture. And when we are willing to violate Scripture to accommodate someone because we like their presentation of spirituality, we follow them in error. She woke up at some point and realized, I'm in sin. This is not God. The devil has deceived me. I'm going to leave this man and go back to my husband and get right with God. Now we're on the right track. So this man that she's leaving now, he comes to where she and her son are living in a mobile home. This is my personal experience. It's not somebody else, second hand. This is first hand through my dad and his friend. He comes with a gun. He shoots first. The son puts up his hand. Just reflex. You can't stop a bullet. But he shot through the hand. He turns to the lady that is leaving him. He shoots her dead. She's dead. Her son is wounded. The testimony of Christ is tarnished because somebody said, God told me it's okay. God showed me. If they had any foundation in the Scripture, they would be truly led of the Spirit, because all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That's why we have the Bible. You know what inspiration means in the Greek? It means it's God-breathed. So it's God's Word. It's God-breathed. We have a Bible because holy men were moved on by the Holy Spirit and wrote. And if we get away from that, and Pentecostals have not been big on Bible study. Can you imagine if Jesus came in an Armani, he wouldn't have wore Armani, he'd probably be like me and J.C. Penney's or G&W Fashion Shop has been taking good care of me for years. Anybody know what G&W Fashion Shop is? Goodwill. right? I mean, when I can walk in and find a tie for $5, or I can go to a men's shop and pay $52 for the same tie, same label, I'll take the $5 one. Amen. Got some Abraham in me. Amen. I won't say any further. Hallelujah. You can tell I'm Abraham's seed. I mean, even if I had all that money, what's $52 for a piece of material like this, when I can get it for $5 at the G&W fashion shop? Amen. I think these are pretty nice shoes. I could pay $89.95 for them. Or I can get them for $15. Brand new. I'm just telling you, I love to go shopping where I can save. You like that? Even though you're rich, right? You just love to go shopping where you can save. I thought something is wrong in our whole system of what we call spirituality. We're not big on digging deep into the Word of God and getting a foundation in the truth of it. If we were, we couldn't send $92.40 to somebody thinking we can buy that blessing for that exact amount. Because you get a better one for a buck at Psalm 1. This is a scheme. But they're on television. Thousands follow them. They're rich. Of course they are. And who supports it? Not people that attend Bible studies every week and get in the scripture because they know better. But who does it? It's the people so easily impressed with someone coming on. God showed me something about you, sister. Please tell me what it is. I've had people try their best to get me to respect someone. Someone came to our church one time, someone I love with the Lord right now, came to me and said, "This lady is a prophetess." And I thought, well, wonderful. That's fine. That's dandy. Oh, Brother Venable, was she this and she that? And I thought, you know something? I'm so focused on Jesus, I'm just not real impressed with anyone else's credentials today. Amen. To me, it's all about Jesus. The one I'm looking to is the author and finisher of my faith, is not a prophet, not a prophetess, nor an apostle, nor a bishop, nor an archbishop, nor a pope, nor Brother Venable. Praise God. Amen. Looking unto who? Who? Jesus. Oh, listen, if you want to get my attention, let's talk about Jesus. Hallelujah. You want to get my focus? Let's talk about Jesus. If you want me to really perk up, give me some scripture, rightfully divided, where I can see it for myself, take it into my own life and apply it. Then I'm being truly led of the Spirit of God. And Jesus said something. A whole lot of people are going to follow the false prophets. Amen. Many false prophets will go out into the earth and deceive many. Last day sign. He said, many, many will be deceived and follow them. And because iniquity shall abound, it's not going to bring them into sanctification. It's not going to bring them into some kind of victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. It's going to hook them and bring them under the influence of the devil while they think they're following God. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Nothing can cool down that wasn't at one time hot. Can you give me an amen about that? It had to be hot and passionate at one time. But because of false prophets and listening to them, following them, coming under their influence, the love of many, there was ardent, fervent love for Jesus, begins to cool off. And what happens when that love for him cools down? The Bible said the Antichrist will not be revealed. That day will not come. The son of perdition will not be manifest, except there come, just preceding that, a falling away first. And you know what the word falling away in the Greek? It's from a root word that means divorce. We were committed to Christ. We were the bride of Christ. We were married to Christ spiritually. we were betrothed to Him and going to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. But now we're following this and we're following that and we're falling away from the faith. That's why we're to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. For there's no other gospel that can be preached but that that has been preached through the apostles and the prophets, with Jesus Christ as the what? Chief cornerstone. Indian convert said in the early days of missionary to the Indians, he said, "I know God loves the Indian people, American Indians, because Jesus is chief cornerstone." Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. He is the central person of the faith that we preach and declare and espouse and hang on to. Everyone that really, he said, "Those my Father give me, those my Father give me, no man can pluck them out of my hand." They'll try, but they will fail. Flags will go up. I was one of those tender, young, little sheep. Amen. My pastor couldn't even help me from that. If I had followed that because some people I looked up to were following it, I would have been in error. And I don't know what would have happened, but I know it went off the rails. And I can give you details, but there were supernatural things occur. But you gotta not just look for those things, you gotta look for truth. And the same man, when it all failed and it blew up and his own ministry blew up and his own moral system broke down, he became a policeman in Lakeland instead of this prophet and preacher that everyone was so enamored with. I'm glad I didn't follow him into error and darkness. I'm glad I didn't just trust my pastor to do it. I'm glad I got in the inerrant, eternal Word of the living God. Jesus did something that a lot of people wouldn't sit for back in the early days and even now in some charismatic and Pentecostal circles. Jesus sat down and taught them. The Beatitudes were given while Jesus was seating and talking. He had no sound system. You had to be quiet and hang on every word. The Bible says that He sat down and taught them. Many scholars say that He walked among them and explained what He was saying to them. So it was clear. And it was from Christ. And when they left, they knew what truth was. Praise God. And they were so, not mesmerized, but they were so absolutely hungry for truth that for 3 days they did not eat and they did not drink because they didn't want to miss a word He had to say. Amen. Hungry and thirsty for righteousness. Everybody say hungry and thirsty. I see the clock. Yeah, I hear your belly. Amen. But listen. They were so hungry and thirsty for righteousness. They shall be filled. I'm Pentecostal. When I see filled, I think of the Holy Ghost, the power of God. But listen to this. All Scripture given by inspiration of God, profitable for rebuke, reproof, and correction, and instruction in righteousness. When you get hungry for righteousness, you want the Word of God to tell you how to be right with God. Because righteousness means right with God. Not holier than thou, but right with God. Not sinlessly perfect, but right with God. My sheep, those my Father hath given me, they're in a safe place. You really were convicted by the Holy Spirit, came to Christ as your Savior, repenting of your sin. Those my Father, no man comes to me except my Father draw them. And when He draws them, those my Father giveth me, no man can pluck them out of my hand. I claim them as mine. I mark them as mine with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Are you getting convicted today? Who are you following? You don't have to be followers of me like some fan. Somebody told me the other day, said, "Brother Venable, did you know that you've got a fan?" I said, "We'd start a fan club for Brother Venable." Can you imagine? I've got a fan. No, it's just someone that believes in our ministry, receives from our ministry. I'm not trying to start a fan club. Amen. You know what fan means? It's the root word of a real genuine fan is a fanatic. Everybody say Green Bay Packers. Minnesota Vikings. Green Bay, Wisconsin. They're playing football. It's 30 below with the wind chill. Some nut with a green something on him sitting out there with his shirt off. And I'm thinking, my Lord, if we had people just a little, get in church, it's too hot. It's too hot. It's too cold. It's too cold. And I thought, man, you ain't a fan. Come on. That's where you get fanatic from. Somebody said the other day, my fan club closed down. She died. Amen. One person. I want you to be a Jesus fanatic. I want you to be a unadulterated, unapologetic fan of Jesus Christ. Amen. Christ who is our life, looking unto Jesus who is the author and finisher of my faith. If you've come to God because the Holy Spirit has revealed your lost condition, convicted you of your sin, and pointed you to Jesus Christ, and you responded to that call of the Holy Spirit, the Father gave you to Him. Hallelujah. And all that the Father hath given me have I kept. Can you say amen? No man, no false prophet, no person with all of this jibber jabber, amen, can pluck me out of his hand, my hand. For the Father that giveth me is greater than them all. I'm not worried about somebody knocking on my door and changing my mind. Number one, they're not coming in to misread scripture to me. They're not going to get that chance. We went out in our neighborhood when we were near the fairground giving out, you know, little information about our church. We let people vote there and invite. We had Dale's idea, I think, had a no-sale yard sale. You know what that is? You put a table out there, you put everything on it that you normally would price. When somebody comes and there's no price on it and they say, how much is this? You say, it's free. And they say, huh? They look at us suspect. We just wanted to let them know this is how God loves. He gives us His Son. He gave His life. We'd love to share Him with you. But we went to put something on somebody's door, and I guess the Jehovah's Witnesses, and if you are Jehovah's Witness, nothing, well, we went to put it on their door, and they said, they drove up and they said, don't put that on my door. We said, we're not them. We're witnesses of the true and living God, but we're not a sect. We're not a cult. We just want to share Jesus with you. That's all. If you want to. Oh, okay then. If it's about Jesus, then that's different. My sheep know my voice because they know the Word of God. Because His voice is synonymous with His Word. Amen. And there's too many voices to not be able to test the Spirit by the Word of God. You can't try a spirit by how you feel about it. Because it's no marvel if Satan be transformed as an angel of light. I mean, I'm looking for the guy in the red jumpsuit with horns and a pitchfork. I'm looking for the witch all in black with a pointed hat and ugly face. I'm looking at an ugly face. I'm not looking at you that way. I'm saying I got to be careful. But what if an angel of light, full of beauty. You know who he was before he fell? Lucifer. Light bearer. Anybody know anybody named it? You know, we got some crazy name for kids today. I've never heard anybody want to name their child Lucifer. But actually, it's an honorable name before he fell. The Bible said he was that anointed cherub that ministered at the altar of God. Amen. Led the worship, evidently. Pipes were in him when he was created by God. And by reason of his own beauty, what made him ugly, what marred him, was his rebellion against God, with no devil to blame. He sinned in pure truth, pure light. But he was so persuasive that holy angels of heaven followed him in an insurrection and rebellion against God. And it wasn't a give and take. Jesus said, here's how that fight went. I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. This wasn't a close fight. It didn't have to go to the judges. It was a knockout. Can you say, man? God is still on the throne. He's still greater than all. I'm going to tell you something. He's come to live in us, and greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world that is against you. Praise God. And it's in the context of truth and error and the spirit of Christ from Antichrist. Hallelujah. My sheep. How many are... I don't want to embarrass anyone. How many have come to know Christ? If you haven't, it's okay. You're in a good place today. We're glad you're here. You're a guest. You've come to know Jesus. Amen. If you really come to know him, the Father drew you to him, gave him for you, and then drew you to him by the Holy Spirit. And those the Father has given me, they're going to try. But the flag will go up. You'll go to the Word of God or call me. Amen. And what will I do? Point you to the Word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Because the Word of God is going to stand. It's going to stand. It's going to stand. It has always stood. It always will. It'll outlast all of its critics, all of the hate, all of the people trying to dismantle it and destroy it. We still have it today. Thank God we still have it today. Amen. Even if I didn't have my Bible, we still have it today because you got me. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen, you're his sheep today. I'm not worried about you. You belong to him today. I'm not worried about you. I believe flags will go up. I believe that you will back off from people that are trying to get you to follow them instead of him. The Bible said some people that went out from them wanted to draw disciples, they didn't want to make disciples unto Jesus. They wanted to draw disciples after themselves. They come in and head a prayer meeting in a church. They get people under their influence that respect their spirituality more than the pastor, more than anybody else. This person. One pastor had to shut a prayer meeting down because someone in the prayer meeting was usurping authority and now was drawing disciples after them. They wanted people to follow them, not Jesus. They were not teaching people how to follow Jesus, but follow me because I've got the revelation. Personal friend of mine, my time. You got to give me more time. You got to turn that clock back. I need more time. He came to me, he's my cousin actually, he's with the Lord now somewhere up there, because he came to me and he says, do you realize that the lady that is our pastor is that close to God? And I thought, that is wonderful. I'm not trying to be sarcastic. I felt sarcastic, but I wasn't saying anything. But I got to say, what anybody says you're that close to God, how do you get that close to God? I mean, he's come to live in us, right? Make his abode in us. Well, we're a lot closer than that close. Jesus said that we're part of his body, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. I know what he meant. I'm not being facetious. I know he meant she's really close to God in her prayer life, her spiritual life. And through her teaching, we develop a higher level of spirituality. And I thought, do tell. Do tell. And he told me. He said, you know when it said Paul was caught up to third heaven? Because of all his revelations. The revelations we have received through this person's ministry, exclusive. we're going to be in third heaven. There's a first heaven for people just barely make it, a second heaven for people that are, you know, got a little bit of revelation, but people got the full revelation are going to be in third heaven. They're going to be on the top floor of heaven. And I thought, man, you're my cousin in marriage, you're my brother in Christ, and we both died, go to heaven, and I'm never going to see you again. I'm serious. I wasn't being. You're up there in third heaven. Be careful of people that are putting themselves above everybody and everything and every pastor. So he can't teach me nothing because I know it all. And if you want to know more than he knows or she knows, you come and listen to me. Be careful. My sheep know my voice. It's gentle, but it's powerful. I said it's gentle, but it's powerful. And my sheep will not follow a stranger. And we're in a day when there's so many strange voices around and so many false preachers, false prophets. You need to get a hold of your Bible. And get the Holy Spirit, amen, speaking to you through the Word. In this sin, dark, and confusion time, Thy Word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet. It is a light unto my pathway. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, how many sheep have we got in here in the Lord's fold? Amen. He's the great shepherd of the sheep. And I believe he's calling his people out of the confusion. He's called them out of the fear, out of all of these things that would hurt and harm them. And he's going to lead us to green pasture. He's going to make us lay down beside still water. Give us peace. Amen. Hallelujah. He's going to make sure that we're well cared for, well fed, because the Lord is our shepherd and a stranger we will not follow. Can you say amen? Sometimes those shepherds would converge on an oasis, maybe three different flocks at the same time. Now they're all mingled together. But the first shepherd to leave would give his peculiar call. And they knew not just his call that could be mimicked. They knew the tone of his voice. And immediately they broke from all these sheep that all looked the same, and they followed their shepherd. Hallelujah. My sheep know what? My voice. What is his voice? All scriptures given by inspiration of God. God breathed. You're hearing my voice because breath is causing vocal cords to vibrate. My wife said, I knew it was you before you said it's me. Or somebody I called said, I knew it was you because they've heard me preach so much. They know my voice. My voice. Amen. Hi, I'm Johnny Cash. No, I'm not. I want you to hear more than my voice. I want you to hear his voice. And when you do, he'll keep you safe from all of this craziness, all of these voices, all of this error, all this deception. Praise God. He'll keep you close. And that's what I want you to be, close to God, really close to God. Would you play this clip and we'll close?
Let me set it up for you for a minute. You're going to see four people out trying to get the attention of a flock of sheep. Three of them are strangers. The last one is their master, the farmer. Watch this, and then I'll be right back.
One more time.
Oh, good.
I tried to mimic his call. Sheep don't care.
I love this.
Look at them, look at them.
That was Jimmy. I heard him.
They're coming. Oh, my God.
My sheep know my voice.
My sheep hear my voice. God is so intentional with the illustrations that he gives. Do you get the revelation there?
Yeah.
When you know God, you know his voice. And what's not his voice? When you know his voice, you know what to do. You know where to go. So I'm going to say it again. So much of your Christian life is empowered by hearing God's voice.
Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Did you get that? I got it too. Let's have a go-home song. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Praise you, Father. We thank you. We honor you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Spirit of the Sovereign God is... Wait. There's another one. Praise the Lord. His mercy is more. My sins, they were many. But his mercy is more. Let's go home with that today. How many are saved today? Well, you're not just saved. You're more than saved. You've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Your name has been entered into a book of life. Praise God. Let's worship him, and we're going to fellowship on the second verse.